1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Great. Seven profit.
Here.
And declined. Seven my flash.
Here.
I will roll back.
Here.
Show seven.
Here.
We have four.
Alright, Terry, you can be on the phone. Please, you know,
Hey, guys. Most gracious Heavenly Father, thanks for the opportunity that we have together in this manner to do the business of our city and to represent the users of the facility that we have here at the Oakdale Airport. But Lord, bless us in all we do and bless the decisions we make. And thank you for all you do for us and all that you do for this great nation that we live in that provides this opportunity. In your precious Son's name, amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for
all. It's happened before.
It has happened before.
I thought we were written like they didn't get plaque for this event, did we?
I'll figure out some way to monument the occasion.
Going on an airplane is not free.
If the city council approves.
We're going to triple ourselves.
That's easy.
Triple our
here you go. There it is.
Alright, what is this? Property sale? Oh, now, sorry. That's good. Everybody reading this? Any questions? Or motion?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We run along. Unfinished business.
So the RFP's on the street. It's deals with the 447 acres of non-aviation property on the airport, highlighted on the attached map. The appraisal on that 447 acres comes out tomorrow. So we'll have an idea of what the fair market value assessment on the property is. We'll be issuing an addendum to the RFP, so we'll attach that appraised value on it. And the RFP responses are due by October 31st.
Any idea how many responders there are?
Well, we haven't had any official inquiries. We've had quite a few people look at the RFP. We've got some of our digital advertising has cookies attached to the website, so we know that more than a few dozen people have actually clicked on the link and looked at it, but nobody's actually picked the phone to schedule a meeting or a tour just yet. I'm thinking that it's going to come in at about $15 million. That's my guess.
That's anybody's guess.
Well, I'll tell you what, once the appraisal comes out, I'll definitely forward you the entire document.
I don't need the entire document.
You want the summary page?
Yeah, summary
page. Alright, I'll do that. Yeah. I'll forward off the summary page.
Here we go.
So, any questions on the property, so.
How many acres?
447.
Alright. Any questions? Audience regarding the property?
Moving on to the survey. It was mailed to the tenants on Tuesday, August 23rd, and I think the total was, I think we got 38 back. We figure there's 100 T-hanger tenants, and it went out to them. It's probably, and then some of the corporate tenants, I think, got it too. So looking at maybe a 35% return on the survey, which first survey I think is actually a pretty decent return amount. A summary of, well, so copies of the survey was forwarded, the actual responses were forwarded to the board, so you do have those digitally. And I went ahead and made this summary sheet that goes through and just summarizes basically by question. So respondents have the ability to check, you know, have they used Ocala Aviation Services, have they used BHA services. Some checked none, some checked one and not the other, and some checked both. And those are grouped. So if they used one, they're included under used OAS, you know, if they check them, or used BHA. If they used both, the results are printed here. And I wanted to make sure that those are separated because that individual has experience working with both companies. And then if they use neither. So a summary of that is provided. The overall experience, if you want, I can go through the details, or you can read it. Okay. So that's the summary of the maintenance surveys. A question was asked about what their the percentage of flight school aircraft to public or retail maintenance.
That went in the survey.
No, but it was a question that was asked that was forwarded to the rest of the board, and I promised an answer.
Okay, but this counts on the survey.
I had
some comments on the survey.
Okay.
I was a part of the survey, and there was 37 respondents to the survey. Not
okay.
We had one double dipper.
Oh, we did? Okay. I didn't notice.
It's in there.
Okay.
Except one that was very short, sweet, to the point, about like all of them. And then he sent another one where it was like it was obviously leaning toward one or the other, and he got to be very verbose on the second one, which came in yesterday, like it was the last one. Then. So he got both of them. I got his third sample. Doesn't really matter.
Okay.
It's all part of the survey. The interesting part to me, look at the survey, and I did went through exactly, almost exactly the same drill you did right here in terms of grouping. Mm-hmm. I think of the 101 T hangars and 12 corporate hangars, was the 100 and basically 13 went out. It's 37% if you just look at the T hangars, 33% if you look at all of them. And that's a really good response in terms of the sample size. Basically, it was 11 who had no out of the 37. It was 11 who had no experience with either. And that's detailed here. There was 9 who had used both, 5 who had used only OA, and 12 who had used BH. So I guess the predominance of the aviation maintenance in terms of customer size from the survey would point to Brian having a bigger share of the aviation maintenance than Intel Aviation does. If you look at the 9 added to the others, you know, you only get to 14 and 21. That's just a drill. So BH had 21 who have used their services out of this survey, and Ocala Aviation had 14. There were, in the spread of comments across, there were a couple of negative ones. There were lots of positive ones. There were a lot in the middle. I'd say my take is exactly the same as Matt's here. There was no extreme level of dissatisfaction. There was no extreme level of more than expected. It was a good grouping. There was nothing that was trending. The thing that I did find, and I was chastised severely during the last meeting for being the only one that had any thoughts that were not completely in line with what we're talking about here. But there were comments on, and only in fairness, there were a lot of comments on here. There were written comments that were good, bad, and different. People that work for Brian think Brian's great. People work for Kelly Aviation, that's always. And that's to be expected. But the ones I was looking for was the individual comments that might not go to either. And there were some of those, and they were interesting. There was in the group of no service by either of the two, OA or BH. There was a comment, there was two comments there. And those comments are, they're on the form, read them. They don't have, I'll pass these around to the board. These were the These are the comments that were off of the, condition of that, if anybody else had anything else to discussion questions. And these were thinking off of the raw survey. We don't have experience for size company we need referring to the maintenance. Need to attract a larger aircraft maintenance facility. Couple from other corporate owners. One asks, what is OA maintenance and four, I use other maintenance. Under Brian.
Under, let me add to that because I have additional comments on the use neither. So they either do their own maintenance.
Oh yeah, those.
And they also travel to a mechanic that has a history with the aircraft. So there's that in there too. Or they have warranty work on the aircraft. The one that really struck me on that one was unfamiliarity with Ocala Aviation. Yeah. Who is OAS?
Yeah, sure.
You know.
But I was centering here, not on those. There's a lot of reasons for them not being here.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the reasons is like everybody else. No matter what we have in the way of an aviation facility and maintenance here, there's always somebody that's going to go there.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's people there that come here. It's the nature of people that own airplanes. That's part of it. I was only looking at the ones that were critical, but from the point of view on this sheet, that came from the discussion we had last time, where I was told I'm the only one here that was unhappy with anything going on. These are the unhappy comments. So, under Brian's, there was a comment, without PHA, maintenance availability for operators other than the flight school would be limited. PHA has been willing to deal with maintenance problems that pop up without them due to luck. Another comment from another from that same in that same group. More than one choice. I contacted no interest in work when PHA was moving and got the impression they could do it if the flight school aircraft was finished. Under both, which would use both. And one of the comments was I need a fixed base operator, I need a fixed base maintenance provider. Brian Hagel is not always available as one man. LA Maintenance is the third choice provider and his flight school is priority one, not independent owners. And independent providers capable and ask for it. This was under the same, he asked for the same responder, I think, the way I put this. Independent provider capable of complete annual inspections on single twin included nitrogen oxygen. Good shot would be a draw for a Cal airport. And this is not a lot, but you know, I was asked at the last meeting by the folks from Cal Aviation who anybody was that was the least bit unhappy with them. We look at the surveys. Out of a third of the people that responded to the surveys, there was at least two or three other people that share my view. So I wanted to bring that to that point. But the thing that it does point out is that, and going back to the pattern of service we've had, I got a nice flyer with prices and so forth on it this week from Cal Aviation, prompting their service, I don't think it's going to look at that, which is good. And I pointed out last time that a sign had come down on the building, but almost three quarters of the way into the year, and they go back to, if you go back and look at what they were going to provide when they bought the presentation here, back, and this is the document that was presented at that meeting. All of the things that they were going to do, really, and that was the question we had last time, and it's the one question I got. I'm not pro either OA or PH. I'm not anti-OA or PH. I'm pro the airport having a quality facility available, a quality provider available to maintain the aircraft here. That's what I'm talking about. So if you look at it, if I look back there, here's somebody who said they're going to do what they're going to do, and until we start bringing it up, or I started to, I think we as board members all take a more active stance. Sometimes I feel a little bit like the Lone Ranger, and you got it. You know, we're here to do things for the good of the airport. We're not here to take up space and time. So I would challenge all of you to take a look at things, and if you see something, that's the spirit from which I'm coming. I'll get off my soapbox from that one. But, you know, three quarters of the way into the year, they probably put a sign up and send a thing out saying we're in business. That's not indicative of somebody who gave us the proposal that they gave us and charging out of the gate. If it had been me, if it was my business, I would have been sending out flyers, I'd have been putting signs up, I'd have been doing everything to make everybody on the airport knowledgeable that I was there and in the business. And they haven't done that. And they've allowed an aviation maintenance facility that's essentially, a mobile maintenance facility to work on our airport. Maybe it's okay, maybe it's not. I happen to like, and everybody, I like, I don't dislike the folks at Hotel Aviation. In fact, I'm very pro-flight school and very pro what they do. I just have a difference of opinion with them on this matter. But for Brian, I worked with for a long time. He's a good guy. He's done some work for me to get an airplane ready so I could carry it somewhere else for maintenance. And I don't have anything but high regard for that. But basically what we're allowing to happen is we're allowing maintenance to be done in the T-hangers, heavy maintenance, because he's doing annual inspections. And according to this, he did an annual inspection for somebody that we're very pleased with. So that is not light maintenance. The T-hanger rules require that we only do work in the T-hangers which is light for any maintenance, which is generally defined as what we as an aircraft owner do. You can change your tires, change your oil, you can do major, minor maintenance. You can't overhaul your engine. Even if you're an A&T, you're not supposed to overhaul your engine or an A&I and you're on T-hanger according to our rules. Okay, so that's... Then, from a minimum standards standpoint, to protect people like Hotel Aviation and other fixed-base operators, we have a very precise set of standards put in place that are blessed by the FAA, required by the FAA for the airport, that essentially says that we're gonna keep the playing field level so that there's not mechanics. There's always been a problem because you get mechanics over the years who are willing to work on airplanes, and you go on the ramp and a corporate jet comes in, and next to it, some guy working on a 172 out of the trunk of his car, with parts scattered all over. It's not the impression you want to make at the airport. So it's not generally thought of. I'm not talking about now, I'm talking about way in the past. It's happened before and continues to happen, and the FAA doesn't like that much, and most people out for the airplane ports don't like that kind of maintenance on the ramp. Sometimes it's necessary. Airplane breaks down.
Is that mobile guy exceeding his authority by doing annuals on the T-hangers if that occurs?
The rules, Terry's right on the rules. You're not supposed to do heavy aircraft maintenance in the hangars. It's difficult for us to enforce that, to pay attention to that. We'll certainly send him a letter.
He's allowed to do maintenance. We're allowing him to do heavier maintenance.
Just a quick question. They said that he did the annual. He may have done it before he closed the shop down. Your survey didn't say, it could have been before, just
pointing out. Could have been, that's entirely possible. And I like what Brian's doing, I like what y'all are doing, and then working together seems to work fine. But it's not the best long-term opportunity that I see for our airplane. And that going one step further, and I'll be through, our minimum standards are there to protect Hotel Aviation or operators like them, and that if you're going to be in that business, you have to have insurance, you have to have a lease, you have to pay something to the city, you have to have so much ramp space, you have to have so much office space, you have to have so much hangar space, you have to have so many parking places. We go to extremes to make that happen, and then we're forgiving that here because we want Hotel Aviation to do what they're doing, and they're clearly wanting to concentrate, according to the evidence I see here, on working on the airplanes first and other people later. And I know they'll disagree with me on that. But they're in maintenance, and I understand why they're in the maintenance business. They need to be to operate a school like they're operating. But the rub for me comes, and the rub for our airport comes in, to right now, for shelter builds another facility somewhere, and there's a plan for them to do that. There is no other hangar on the airport that an operator like Brian can lease and operate out of. And the only place that we have for a maintenance facility is the one we got. And it should be a maintenance facility that's here to maintain airplanes for everybody, not one for the airplanes. That's my point. That's where I'm coming from. Have my say. And, that's all. That's all I can add at this particular point.
I'm the new kid on the block here.
I see a very fine line between advisory board and administrative board. Sometimes I think we tend to move from what our instructions are.
We're not doing anything any different than we're supposed to.
You sure?
I'm sure.
I know you came.
I've been doing this
before. You came to the airport. I understand that.
I came to the airport. Me and Oracle's moving here together.
No, you read my mind.
No, but I we're advisory board, but we're not supposed to be wallflower.
We don't. No, we're not supposed to be wallflower. No. We're also not
the. What I'm doing here today is what we should be doing. And this is just one thing, but there's nothing wrong.
No, I'm not saying there's nothing wrong. There are some areas where we have it.
There's nothing procedurally wrong with what I'm doing.
No, I think it's a great report.
No, what I'm saying, I just asked, so we're not telling Matt how to run the airport.
Okay.
We're only registering our thinking.
That's not me.
Then you'll tell me. No,
he works for the city manager indirectly. And the city manager tells him what to do, and they decide what to do with the airport. We give them our 2 cents for it, but if they use it, fine. If they don't, that's fine.
Ultimately, this board will provide direction to me, staff, on the policy that they want to see on the airport. And the policy is going to be related to the minimum standards. I got to make a couple of corrections of what you said, though. The FAA does not bless our minimum standards,
nor
are they required on the airport. Neither one. They recommend it, but they don't require it, and they don't approve them.
They don't.
Yes. So I just want to clarify that, since all we have minutes and all that stuff. So I just want to make sure.
Every airport has those for some reason.
The airports that have them for a reason, but not all airports have them. So I'm looking for direction from this board. We brought up a couple of items, mobile aircraft maintenance. Brian is on the airport, he's providing mobile aircraft maintenance. We've had other mobile aircraft maintenance providers in the past who we've encouraged to work with our standalone maintenance provider.
I'm checking my head because I can't remember.
Well, I don't bring those to the board. But when they come off site from Orlando and they're working on a particular airplane and we find out who they are, we contact, we approach them, challenge them, tell them what the standards are, encourage them to work with our maintenance company, and that's how everybody stays happy. So,
and if there's certain classes of airplanes that break down here.
Exactly. That's the other aspect. Somebody's got to come and work on them, right? Whether it's warranty maintenance work on the Learjet, Bombardier, Gulfstream, or something like that. So we have to account for that as well.
Pretending to have or even want to have
now, BHA Aviation was approved to do what it's doing by this board back in February unanimously. So he's doing what we've allowed him, we being this entity, is allowing him to do. From staff's perspective, Ocala Aviation is meeting their obligation with their agreement with Shelter, and Shelter is meeting their obligation through the agreement that they have with the city and the minimum standards. So from a purely paper perspective, everybody's meeting their requirements and their minimum requirements and the minimum standards. We do have some options. I've been talking with Shelter on stuff that we could do. We can issue an RFP. We can, but I need some direction from you guys on what to do next and how to proceed.
I'd like to hear what the rest of the board has to say about that. I'd have my thoughts here. Sure, yes, I'd like to see this.
Sure. Well, I'm not going to take 3 minutes of our time to say it again, but he's got his.
So wait a minute. I resemble that remark.
Well, I kind of resent some of the remarks you made also, but.
You said resentful.
I do take exception when you say you think everybody should get more involved. Because we've all been involved in certain things and more than our daily with, and I realize you have part blown over not having a Class A, AAA shop. I think the survey to me spoke volumes. It had come back with a lot of negatives, I almost didn't find any negatives other than a couple of these questions and it's clear to me, back up a few of that, one of them. It's clear to me these people wanted a $100 an hour shop with tile floors and this sort of thing. That's not what happened. With regards to Brian doing annuals and team things, I personally don't have a problem with it. I mean, there may be a rule in the books that says we can't do that, but honestly, I'd rather have him doing an annual in my hangar than being in a hangar with 15 other airplanes getting, you know, wing rash and all of that, and parts getting misplaced. I think as long as he keeps it relatively clean and as clean as he can be when you're tearing an airplane apart, then I don't have a problem with it.
I do. And I don't know the business. If that's bread and butter business, the guy operating out of his car has a much lower overhead and can compete unfairly with the guy that's got the big overheads, like the brick and mortar buildings versus the internet that doesn't pay sales tax. I have a bit of a problem there if that's the case.
I spoke to Ron, I believe.
But if they don't care.
And if they don't really care. And in fact, they apparently work very well together. There's something that Brian can't do, maybe they don't have a tool, or maybe he needs their jacks, or whatever the case. They're working sort of in concert. I don't remember the exact things we talked to Shelton and they were negotiating the lease, but it seems to me like they were going to put up a big hangar sort of next to the blue hangar. That obviously has a surface.
They have 5 years to do that.
Yeah, well, yeah. The last I remember, I'm going to do it right away.
I understand what you're saying.
Granny, as far as with Brian having an advantage over pricing, I think that benefits the people that have the airplanes. I mean, if somebody wants to do an annual for me for $1,500 and the next guy that's got the big overhead wants $2,500, then I think that benefits
the airplane. It's fair, though, that the guy has to put raise the price more than they care. Here's my point. I want to hear from them, but everybody's got an opportunity. But my concern that I expressed when you were absent, and it remains my concern, is that if customers on the field need to be given priority over the flight school. And when if we start getting a lot of anecdotal evidence that they're not, that they're putting people off because they've got maintenance on their own airplanes, that's when I would have a problem. And I would think that Shelter should have a problem.
I think we've also
but I've been assured that's not the case. Don't turn away business from John Q. Public because you're working on your own airplanes. You've got sufficient staff that does not happen.
There was at least two comments on it.
And then, one guy said he got the impression. I don't know. But if we start getting more anecdotal evidence that that's happening, then that's a problem for him. That's what I'm saying. Anybody else?
Well, if you're not allowed to do, if the rules say you can't do major maintenance inside your T-hanger, you shouldn't allow that.
Or else you should by changing the rules.
Exactly. That's what I mean to say.
I'm not saying that.
Right. If we weren't allowed that, we ought to change the rules. Because that's simple.
Right now, our rules essentially don't allow it to do what we're doing. That's what we're looking for. Then we could also establish a much more stringent standard in our minimum operating standards, because the vote that you're talking about, we may have voted that way, and I didn't look the minutes up or didn't listen to the date. It's not worth it. I'm not trying to put some good point here, but we could provide, just like the other minimum standards, some form of, the city, if he's working here in an airport and get something from it, the city ought to get something. It's got to be some kind of fee, or if we're going to do that, we need to regulate it. And I think that would be a real good way to approach it, because that's what Brian's doing. We can add another category, and we can have requirements for that category, and we want to make them pretty stringent. And insurance is high amongst them, because you don't want the guys, because over the years you've got that it's a problem for any maintenance shop, and it would be for evaluation. Got some guy that's got, you know, a toolbox with about 3 dozen tools in it, and he's working on airplanes out in front of his car, and got parts scattered all over the wall, all over the ramp, and we don't know.
The Orlando Executive Airport is addressing this very issue as we speak. They've drafted an amendment to their own minimum standards that addresses mobile mechanics. I'll get a copy of it, and if the rest of the board permits, I'll work with Terry over the course of the next month. I suggest Terry because, you know, when we did the previous minimum standards updates,
I've worked a lot with minimum.
Terry's got great experience with it, so it only makes sense.
And they're a good thing, and they're in place just. It was articulated very well on this decline. It's not here to the owners, to the operators. It's here to protect the operators and the level of play. Mm-hmm. Because in a lot of cases, the maintenance guy like this is mobile, and you got Ron and his group out the other end trying to make a living out of a maintenance facility, and somebody might be blaming off all their business for all their funds in the field. So, I mean, it cuts both ways. Because all I want for airport is the best we can get.
Are we ready to hear from the operator?
Yeah.
Jared, you got something else?
Comes from being old.
Come on out.
Exactly. I know.
Go ahead. I just want to give him a quick brief
report. Ron, could you come up? Because we want to.
Social name and the record social media. I've been around for a while. I want to apply school maintenance and stuff like that. I know all of you individually, but I don't know if I've had a chance to talk with all of you before. We've been here for 16 years. We're on our 17th year. We went all through 9/11. We started the flight school at the government back in 2000. And they left because they said there was no interest in the county flight school system. And we have to take the city for the meeting. That's what we take the city for. But we took it over, started up our one small offices here. We had 3 years. One of them is 200%. Today we have 17 airplanes. When we took over the maintenance facility, we had 11. We had 6 airplanes that took over the maintenance facility. We're a CDC approved for Phoenix International students with the brand new airport. We're also TSA approved to get TSA approved of the home room. We do the TSA fingerprints ourselves. We give written tests ourselves. We're at Park 141. Private through multi-commercial improved school. We provide about 50% of the operations of this airport for the top. 30% of the gas is bought from the airport. All that money goes back into the airport as such. I have 17 employees right now with $500,000 in the payroll. Now, when we kept over, we said we would go supplement our maintenance. We were going to use this to supplement our maintenance facility, have enough mechanics that we could do everybody's maintenance that came in. And we have 5 mechanics that we have to do. Over the last 10 years, we've had 6 different shops that's put in this facility. None of them survived at this point in time. None of them did what they told you they were going to do when they came in. You have several jet shops. You have Exec Jet. You have Bruce. When he came in, he was going to bring in a jet guy. And none of that ever happened. We are doing what we told you we would do. We have not turned away anybody. Now, if I've got a scheduling issue, I will tell the pilot before he comes in, it may be a week before we get to the airplane. And it's not because we're putting our airplanes above priority, it's because we have a working process that I don't want to bring in an airplane that I can't get out of the time period without holding this plane. That's the only way we would put an airplane away. It would never be up front. They come in, they have the priority when they come in, and they're paying me money. There's no reason I wouldn't take them on first, because they're giving me cash to keep their personal airplanes. But the only way I can keep the money from employees down there is to do the flight school also. The 17 airplanes I have over here is a base operation that gives me steady work that I can do every day and then take it all the outside of my work. If we grow bigger, I'll hire more mechanics and move more with it. But we can't. Now, the downside of all this is if you want to take the shop back, you know, and you say, hey, you want to get a bigger shop, that's fine. And we can work with it. We're not making enough money on that thing to make it a true profit center. Nobody's made enough money on that shop to be able to survive as a single profit center. I would have to reduce my aircraft staff back down to the levels it was when we went into the shop, because I don't have those people to work in this area. And there would be about a 40% reduction in our
in our operations and advancing our system. So you really, you can work with us, you need to work with us. You've been here for a long time. I don't think you've seen many bicycles that's been around 17 or 18 years. You haven't seen any maintenance shops that have been around more than 2 or 3 years here in the last 10. But, you know, just take that into consideration for going all your decisions.
Well, I've been in a shop here. Takes that in a hybrid type shop up on South Carolina. I think we are going to set the same mechanic on all for about 3 or 4 years in other money. And I was certainly do business with Ron O'Brien, but you've got Ron Nutley over Ben Elements.
I'm not opposed to either. When the opportunity came and we were talking to Shelter, one of the things they said they would look for would be to help us on maybe a regional or national basis, to try some kind of, the turbine engine airplane is the way of the future. I mean, it's more and more, there's more and more of them. Well, Fiskin's out there. Obviously, I think all of us sitting around here, we care about Fiskin engine guys. So was a colleague here, but he's out of the business temporarily. But, looking at that, and there's nothing to say that Ron's not going to go to Piston, from Piston to Turbine, and however, I just want to make sure that it's held out there as something we're looking for. When you talk to them, talk to Health Air, they told us a lot of things in terms of being here, just like the confusion. Jerry's got heavy, I thought they were going to be up more quickly in the contract in the last 5 years. They said they could help attract everything we needed, they could do for us. And they're doing a good job. I'm not discounting anything the Shelter is doing. I think we've got to do that. But I would still like to see a path somewhere defined to a better membership. Can I get that?
I think it's fantasy and reality. Fantasy is something we got down in Orlando or Miami. Reality is we're Ocala.
Yep.
And the business has got it in a standalone shop. There's not enough money to have a standalone shop. It's evidenced by what we've experienced. We've been coming and going. I think Ron presents a reasonable compromise as we grow. That may not be the model we they're not etched in stone, and maybe you got a year contract. But I do think another reality is when you've got one of your planes down, you know how much money you make on that airplane. I suspect if revenue on your own airplanes is greater than Jerry McLaughlin, and it's just natural that he's going to be deferred while you get yours up and running, and I think that's just the reality that's going to exist. Because it's an economic, unless I'm wrong, that the money you generate on a working, one of your working planes is, I suspect, greater than a little bit of maintenance. So you're going to take a guy, you're going to prioritize as you economically. So.
I'm not arguing with you, I'm just saying it all. But I have duplicate airplanes of everything but two aircraft. And we just move the people around. Now, if it's one of those two aircraft, it's going to get in the line with everybody else. But I'm not saying it's going to take priority over the top of it. If I'm in the middle of working on it, I may not stop and start on another one until I'm finished with that. But it's not, we're not going to set a customer aside just because we have our airplanes right now.
How many airplanes do you have in the air before you retire?
We probably have 12, 14.
So you still got three on the ground that can go.
Yeah.
So I don't see where you would...
Like I said, I've got two airplanes that are unique.
But if you've got three airplanes sitting on the ground that don't need to be repaired, and Jerry was talking to Terry or John Doe come in with one that you can put a mechanic on and make some money
first,
why would you not?
Yes. Well, the other point is almost all of our students are international. They're here 40 hours a week. So if Jared claims one's going to get another one, we can make our plane wait, because you're right, the revenue's there, but it's there if we fly them at 8 o'clock in the morning, or at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, or if we fly them tomorrow. Most of our bases and most of them only come in once a week. So we can move our guys around, planes down, like today, Boxford Alpha is going for annual. I just took the students, moved them to my other plane, Boxford Alpha still sitting on my ramp, because they're working on customer planes. So we can do that. We don't have to go right now to our customers, because most of them are international. They're here for a year.
All of you guys go to a shop. You can't tell me you go to a shop and everyone's responding to you instantly.
No.
Nobody out there. And if you go in for an annual, if you think you're going in for a week, you may be there for a month, but they come up and buy. That's just sort of a normal situation, you know, when they get to it. But I mean, we don't set anything aside because of another aircraft. Now, may it happen for an hour or two? Sure. And it might, but it's not going to be something that we're going to put an airplane aside for a week and not work on.
That's not in the sequence of airplanes when you're not in the air.
Right.
May staff make a recommendation?
Sure.
Right? Okay. Ocala Aviation Services is coming up on their one-year anniversary in February. I think Shelterra is looking for some direction on whether the board would support entering into a new agreement with their tenant or not. I have spoke with Shelterra about the possibility of putting an RFP out on the street for full-blown jet maintenance, an MRO, maintenance repair operation, some sort of a designated jet shop. It would be in a brand new facility. It would not be able, something like that would not fit in their existing facility down there.
That would be ideal.
So, but there's also another option, and that would be because the MRO option, you get into that reality and fantasy aspect. Florida's in Ocala. We've got one up in Lake City right now. You know, we're not in the middle of the country. I think personally, from staff's perspective, that would be difficult to see an MRO in this airport. However, it's possible that we could work with Shelterra, issue an RFP to look for some sort of a letter of agreement jet maintenance company where they would partner with Ocala Aviation, maybe be their designated jet repair operator. If they get a customer, Ocala Aviation, call them up right away. They'd be here, whatever, 24 hours. That's a possibility, and so we could pursue that as well.
I think that helps you out.
I don't believe it does. I think that the customer picks up the phone and they don't go through Ocala Aviation. I think they have a warranty service or something like that.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm supposing. They're still go to their warranty.
If they have it, then it could be an older airplane.
I like the idea of Shell. I'm going back to Shelterra as much as anything, and what we were told in the beginning by Shelterra in terms of the grandiose plan for going forward. And I thought I liked the idea of them building the facility for a turbine operator. There is the population in the center of where there's a jet center in Gainesville. How can we get a jet center here? I mean, the state of Florida is such that there's, you know, they can work here as well as anybody. It's been in Jacksonville, Orlando, Tampa, they've all got them.
Mrs. Iroh is here from Shelterra. Their properties department, they can speak to that aspect. Not to put you on the spot, but I just put you on the spot. What Terry was saying, or what? Oh. Your last comment, you were speaking about the MRO.
They're helping us to look for Shelterra and the city partner together to look for not a facility like this in my city, which is, that's large maintenance on heavy jets, but a regular shop that works on turbine airplanes and is in a good place. Like what Gainesville has. Isn't there a market for a turbine in the center here?
I don't know.
We were speaking about that, looking at historical data and planes that come through here. There has not been any high traffic of that type of aircraft, so it would make it a little difficult. We can definitely partner with the city to reach out and see if there is interest, but if not, we're saying put out an RFP to inquire. Like, if that is where everyone would like to see happen, but it goes back to what you're saying. I mean, the next state of us may have it, but we would have to obviously build a new facility, which takes a capital dollars and also secure the money that we have to put into it. How many operators? Probably is going to be higher than us.
Well, there's another thing you can do to, there's the operators like that are looking for other parts of the world, but they want to live in Florida and do what they do.
Well, what do you do with you? Do you get any inquiries for trade on the fair?
I'll leave them in this case.
It may be early in the process, but that's something we should continue to look for and have as an objective. You've got to have an objective, you're never going to get there. As somebody who happens to wander off the streets, which happens to us occasionally, flying up will work good. So I would think there's, turbine airplanes being what they are, an hour from anywhere to get to a shop, is once they take off and go somewhere, they don't think that much difference. So, provided they can take off and go. And we've got four more turbine airplanes on the field that can't go, but if the facility was here, there's going to be more in the future, hopefully. And it's part of what an airport like hotel would aspire to have, but part of the facilities are here to help the angels go.
What recommendation are you looking for?
I think going back to what we've got with shelter and the lease that we're talking about there is.
They're negotiating a new lease right now with Ocala
Aviation. That's fine.
Okay.
I mean, I'm speaking for myself. Anybody else? Is that a motion? That's a motion. I mean, the motion is they can continue negotiating.
They're going to negotiate.
You know, I mean, we're not opposed to it. Unless the board is opposed.
I think Matt would ask them
some direction. Yes, some direction from the board, whether it's backing Ocala Aviation and continuing to do what they're doing, giving clear direction to Shelter, supporting their tenant, or recommending a full-blown RFP looking for a replacement maintenance operator or an augmented maintenance operator. So I'd like to get some forward progress.
I got
You've had a bad experience with the battery issues.
Whoever was in the maintenance facility, they stopped spending batteries.
Well, we do stop. This is the last one.
We'll take a one that old unit.
Anytime you get stranded on the airport.
I'll move the Shelter continue the march.
With Ocala.
I'll second.
I'm going to motion in the second and march the air.
Continue to negotiate one-year lease, is that what you're talking about?
Okay, that's what I recommend.
No, I got a motion for second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
4-1.
Moving forward?
Yes, moving forward.
All right. Yeah. The Ocala Aviation Services training site proposal, the lease remains with the city attorney under their review, but I do have some good news to report. The site's been cleaned up. All that concrete debris has been removed, and we're ready to land helicopters on it.
All right. How long is the helicopter?
Right.
Does that lease include an option purchase?
It will, yes.
I'm not in favor of options.
Okay.
I don't like option purchase because...
Options.
What is the term of the option?
It's not been drafted yet. And we're waiting on Mr. Gooding to advise us on that.
How big a site is it?
12.83 acres.
And this is only going to be used for classroom?
They're proposed in their letter of intent. It was a classroom with possibility of future helicopter operators in the center portion.
I like you listed as a given. The idea of an option to purchase from 12 acres, and leasing it for a period of time is reasonable and fair, but the option to purchase, you need to come back and have a specific thing when we talk about the facility. It's available, it's there, somebody else is going to come get it at the time that you got something to talk to us about. To talk to us.
It was not included in the 447-acre purchase option because we're negotiating with Ocala Aviation. Well, we're trying to sell all of it all at once.
I'll speak to that. I think you're talking 50 or 60,000 acres based on 15 million dollars estimate you threw out there earlier for the equation. I personally would hate to see the airport sell any of the property off sale like this. If somebody comes along and wants to buy 10 acres to build a facility on, I'm in favor of that. But I don't want to see the airport 20 years from now saying, God, I wish we hadn't sold all that land.
I think the jury's still out in terms of the sale of the bulk land, my personal view. The Ocala Airport right now, the money that came to the Ocala Airport, $15 million. With all due respect, we don't need $15 million right now. I mean, we need money, but we're only $15 million. So that becomes some money we put in the bank. And when the money's in the bank, it's going to eventually get spent. So I would prefer for the land to stay there. If we need funding, we'll figure out how to get the money in the meantime, and we can sell individual parcels perhaps instead of leasing them. But I am totally opposed to the government, and not any more reflection on that. I'm like Matt, all of us would be ready to have all the money to do those things, to build a bigger terminal and all that. That's still short-sighted in terms of what we're trying. I'm not really in favor. It's interesting to see how that comes about. There's a lot of talk from people in council that got to really decide whether or not they accept
it. Yeah, off subject though. We're talking about this facility.
On this parcel here, I don't have a problem with an option to purchase so long as it's a short option. If they want to lease that for a year, at the end of that year, buy it at the price
that they have. But they're leasing it for classroom space in one of the buildings. Probably need 12 acres.
They're
not going to demonstrate the need for 12 acres in the property.
Wasn't it put in that it wasn't that we have the option for the first option?
The first right of refusal?
Yes.
That's different.
I believe isn't that the way you put it?
That's a first right of refusal. It's different than an option.
Well, it hasn't been drafted yet.
When the lease seems to be crossed, which is pretty astronomical, I had an option to buy it by the lease.
How many years is the lease again?
Five.
See us in 5 years.
We got this $6,000 a month lease before we got to that point. The unit is not worth $6,000
a month. But listen all that land, unless you read the land, that's fine.
I understand that this is all or nothing.
It's a campus. We don't want to split the campus.
We got lots of land ahead. Is there another spot we can build a classroom? Wouldn't you be better off to find a more ideal site on this side or the other side? And
this is a little sites.
What's the formula for the option?
It's not been drafted yet.
I mean, we don't even know what the formula is for the option.
No.
In the LOI, there was just a...
No, it was just a request for some sort of an option on the entire parcel. So we've enlisted the help of Jimmy Gooding to help create that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know. I see it.
surface.
That's going to be... That would be coming back before that happened?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I think there's a fundamental question from several people here in terms of how that gets handled.
Okay. Well, I mean, it'll come back to the board for your recommendation to city council. So after the lease has been drafted.
I don't really see why we have to lease the whole... I mean, right now the wholesale record, just like you get an option to purchase, or a first right of refusal to purchase, or whatever, we don't want to break the campus up. But at the same point in time, rent it on a year-to-year basis and have the rent commensurate with what the building was, not 12 acres. You got to have some kind of flexibility in terms of doing that. They shouldn't be paying that much rent for a building for a classroom.
That's inclusive of the center, the concrete pad, the warehouse slash hangar area. Staff's intent is to basically build it up into some sort of an aviation use. A helicopter operator out there would be an ideal use for it. But they might be able to bring one in, and they've discussed that. So that's staff's perspective, you know. Give it to somebody, it's an aviation use that they might be able to turn it into something. The risk is minimal for the city. We're not getting anything for it right now. We've spent thousands of dollars out there before. Having a tenant that maintains the entire facility, that the airport doesn't have to pay the insurance on the buildings or the grounds maintenance or anything like that, you know, it goes to augment my airport's bottom line. And if we can get an aviation use out of it, then that's all the better. So that's
the best. That's one of the reasons we have the aviation use. It would be a better time to talk about it.
Understand that.
No, I mean, it's nothing personal. Again, I just don't favor selling the property. That's just a philosophical thing. We don't make any more of it. I think we should be doing leases and not sales on the lot. And rent it at a rate that's reasonable, not outrageous.
Yeah, because that joking off, it can be very hard to develop the area knowing that we'll be giving it up.
Well, I longer term lease, you know, I'm not opposed to
it. Yeah, the goal is to be able to take over the whole 12 acres and not to the classroom. So, yeah, you know, he was right. If we're only going to lease the building, that's all you're going to want us to use, then the lease should be plugged out, the price should be plugged out, not the whole 12 acres.
Right.
And then we just know that you don't want to.
Can't you structure the lease to do that, though?
To only lease the building?
To lease the building in a commensurate manner.
I mean, sure, we can structure the lease that way, but staff is also looking to minimize our exposure and cost on an empty facility, and if we can't lease the whole thing, breaking it apart and finding a user for the remainder of the campus is going to be that much more difficult. Because the remaining building is a locker room, or a two-story control tower, and an open-aired, wall-less warehouse. So, the rental amount to Ocala Aviation is a reduced amount. It's not fair market value. We do have that ability because it is an aviation use.
But everybody's come along and rented it as an aviation facility and a helicopter.
That's right, but nobody's really come along to and rented it.
Based on year five.
That's what I asked for.
That reflects the today's fair market value. It's significantly discounted of the entire campus. The buildings, the land, and everything. That's right.
Fair market value, right?
Yes, and up to, so we've stepped it up. To get to that point in year five.
I don't see why you can't cut the building and the conventional amount of land out and lease that and leave the other portion there. Either lease it to somebody else or lease it to Ocala Aviation.
It's costing the airport $2,500 a month to keep it empty right now. And with my minimum budget...
Well, if they're renting the building, how does it cost us $2,500 a month to keep it up?
Between the lawn maintenance, the property insurance values, the electric utility.
You said the other half of the stuff that must be empty locker room. How do I be insured?
If the building has to be insured for casualty, fire, property insurance. It's on the city's rent rolls. I don't know off the top of my head. I can get you that information.
You don't have to insure it. If it belonged to Jerry and I, we might say, we're just not going to insure it.
The city of Ocala is not going to go without insuring its investment.
Yeah.
I'm going to get billed for it. They're not going to stop insuring me.
How much was the insurance?
It's a few thousand dollars a year.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot of money. It's just a holding factor. I'm suffer. Just take a look at the lease.
They have a need, and it's a good need for us, but they don't right now need 12 acres and a helicopter. So that would be someone we ought to be able to work that out.
Well, staff will present our recommendation to this board once the lease is finalized, and then we can go over it.
I want to talk with Tina and the clerks and look at from the city's perspective, see what we're trying to accomplish long term.
I have spoken with Ken Whitehead, and he's very favorable in moving forward with this.
Well, yeah, because there's a pretty good chunk of rent that I think higher than they should be asked to pay for what they're getting. They don't need all the land.
I'll bring back their letter of intent at the next meeting along with the lease agreement, hopefully once it's done.
Okay.
So on the new business, we've got the ARF truck. JetBlue, with their operation with Kentucky, bringing Kentucky in a couple weeks ago, they requested a higher level of ARF capability than we were able to maintain. We recommended that they rent a truck from South Carolina, and that's exactly what they did. They found a company, well, I found a company in South Carolina. They rented the truck from them directly. They shipped it to us. Our Ocala Fire Rescue personnel man it. And it allows us to reach a ARF index level C. We are certificated under index A. We can meet B normally, but with this truck, we can meet C, so we can accommodate larger aircraft when we
require. Delta comes and goes, and they don't have hard.
And it's at their purview. If they elect to operate under a lesser ARF index, that's entirely up to them. JetBlue did not want to do that, so they paid about $7,000 to have this truck stay at the Ocala Airport. They paid it for one operation, and we get to keep it for 30 days. It's a 1997 E1 model, 3,000-gallon rapid response truck. So I thought I'd let the board know that we've got this in our inventory. We used it for when vice presidential candidate Pence came in last Saturday, and so we were happy to accommodate him. It's a nice truck.
You have any business?
No, sir.
All right. Do you have any fuel and ops?
Operations continue to outpace last year. Total operations for August, 4,672. While it was less than what we did in July, 4,672 is not quite 1,000 operations more than what we did in August of 2015. We are on track to hitting about 65,000 operations for the year 2016, which is about 5,000 operations more than what we did in 2015. Local operations, total local operations, which are indicative of flight training on the airport, we did 1,300 in August. That was, I'm sorry, 1,300 in 2015. We did 1,500 in August of 2016. So that's indicative of Mr. Tillwater's flight training operation. So we're happy to see that. And then how that looks on a month-to-month scale. This heavy, bold red line represents 2016. And then you've got all your months down here. Blue line is 2013. The skinny red is 2014. Green, 2015. And then the thicker, again, thicker red line is 2016. You can kind of see the majority of the months we did better than the previous years. We had a couple bad months. May, I think we had some weather on that time frame. But this really shows a trend, what happens to our traffic during the summer. It, you know, dips down and then it comes back up fairly intensely towards the winter. Oh, that's sorry, that's a good point. That is just projection based on what we did last year. That's what it would look like. So.
I would think the graph would be very good stuff.
You're right. I think I got carried away. I wanted to see where. So let's ask projections for the rest of the year.
I like to draw projections.
There you go.
Sometimes.
No, you're right.
The next week's Powerball number.
I got excited to show you that, and I forgot to take that part. So, on the fuel side, we're doing quite well. August on a monthly perspective, and remember this is still just deliveries, although we're keeping track of into plane pumps and deliveries. This represents deliveries. August, we were down 33%, but still overall, year to date, we are up 21% over where we were this time last year. We're looking at close to 750,000 gallons of total fuel sold. By the time we get to December, and I did not extrapolate that out in this graph. And then the final one,
Sure. For a long time, 3 years, been very vehement about showing the fuel price flames for the local FBO and all the FBOs around us when we were opposed to them. That's the way it is. You know where I'm coming from.
Sure.
You know, when Landmark was here, he was very quick to point out where Landmark's prices were versus everybody else. Mass change shelf here is here, and that part of this equation has gone away. I request that in the future, we continue to do exactly what we did, because it's also important to us as a board to look at what shelf air is charging for fuel and what other people in the area, just like we were doing when we made a plan.
Sure. No, it has been a while since I posted that, so. We do hold them accountable, and
this should be part of the fuel.
I will include it at the next meeting. We did some follow-up on your question about the taxiway project. The rehabilitation taxiway Alpha, we're moving forward with the design of that. At the last meeting, this board had a concern with removing the Alpha 10 connector. This was part of the FAA's new design standards for taxiways. They don't want the direct access from a ramp to go straight across the taxiway onto a runway. So if there's an opportunity to make those corrections during a project, they're going to want us to do that. So we have four of those types of scenarios on this airport at Alpha 1, Alpha 3, Alpha 6. There's a connector here, it doesn't show up well. And then at Alpha 10, there's direct access straight across. So the way we fix that, we remove this section of pavement and relocated a little further down. At Alpha 3, because we have Alpha 2 here, and Alpha 4, and Alpha 5, we remove this, and we don't replace it. At Alpha 6, we replace it probably to the south. And then at Alpha 10, because we have Alpha 9 and Alpha 11, we remove that. Now, the question was, you know, can we offset that a further distance? We spoke with the engineer, and he advised that we will have a meeting with the FAA and sit down and talk about some of the pre-design intent characteristics of the project. Does it have to be removed? Yes, because the advisory circular is stated, the brand new one is saying that it's direct access, FAA is going to make us move it. We're going to ask them if they're going to make us move it. If they say no, then we can keep it. But my guess is they're going to make us move it.
Can the Phillips be changed so that they can handle the bigger airplanes? Can you go ahead?
We can make that request.
Because that's where the problem is, the problem at Alpha 1.
Yes.
We've modified that once in order to make that turn radius right for a bigger airplane.
That's right. At Alpha 1, at Alpha 4 into the ramp. I'm sorry, at Alpha 4 into the ramp, at Alpha 5 into the ramp. 3 is good. And then we also improved Alpha 11 to accommodate those larger airplanes. Now,
but not let go quite big enough to handle some of them, but
It'll accommodate the 757.
It won't go to the 767.
Well, none of the taxiway will accommodate a 767. Even if they could make the turn, they still wouldn't be able to taxi on this. We need a 70, nope, width.
What?
Taxiway Alpha is 50 feet wide. The main gear on the 767, if you were just to pick up an airplane and just plop it right on the center line of Taxiway Alpha, from the outer tire of any one of the outer main gear to the edge of pavement is 6 feet. And that's too close. You can't make any turns. So the way that we fix that actually is constructing the west side taxiway and having those larger airplanes on the west side. And that's our justification for the west side taxiway. So
the issue that the traffic has is when the aircraft comes from the north and Alpha past the landing, the wingtip protrudes into the safety. And when that happens, we are obligated to stop all of the 49 feet in center of the taxiway. Length is more than 98 feet, which is 7.7. You have to stop all the other operations while the aircraft is on the taxiway. So if you could do that, I would think possibly you would give them some taxes to the beach. If you don't expand it to our aircraft, give us more space to stop all the
and we looked at that. It's been on the books to relocate that taxiway to match the center line of this portion. That's why we have the S turn. So the cost to relocate the taxiway is about the same to build a brand new one on the west side. So we've been pursuing that with the FAA. It's in our capital improvement plan to build that first phase on the west side. And once that happens, we'll be able to direct all that heavy aircraft over there. But in order for us to relocate this all the lighting, talking all the lighting that we put in, that was a $3 million project just for the taxiway lighting. All that lighting's got to get ripped out. It'll be brand new. We have to redo the drainage infrastructure between the taxiway and the apron. And then we have to remove the pavement. We have to bring in all brand new lime rock and then repave it to match that section right here. You're building a brand new taxiway.
Yeah.
We might as well do it on the west side.
And the west side has a lot of advantages because it opens up a lot of millstone over there.
That's right, it sure does. So back to Alpha 10. Right now, if there was a capacity issue, we would have an easier time justifying keeping that there or shifting it over, but right now, there's been no capacity issue raised down at Alpha 10.
So the other thing, the taxiway goes into goes nowhere right now.
At Alpha, right. Well,
you can put a fence up, unless there's somebody coming along for us to build.
We are talking with an operator right now. They're drafting a letter of intent.
They don't know if they're using it, right? Right.
Sure has. That concludes my presentation. If there's any questions.
Questions, board members, audience. Nothing. You're looking.
If you haven't seen Sully, go see Sully.
Thank you. Yeah, right.
I did that up coming. I appreciate your time today. I wanted to apologize. The other board members is taking the wrong way. Wasn't meant to be. Jerry does absolutely nothing. So that's a given. But the rest of us are usually involved. That's why he reacted. I would just admonish for all of us to stay more involved. I think every now and then we need that. There's meant to be a pep talk. No, I wasn't talking bad about
you.
There's the west side.
I like that.
We'll move that back from the and put back into
the
car. That's
cool. How much that cost?
A bunch.
A lot.
Well,
I thought you got
this and this would cost about $5 million.
Gosh.
With a concrete, with a concrete. I thought you weren't in that business.
Now, why don't you let Gary and I build it? We'll build it out of red.
This is with concrete to support the weight of the aircraft. But, you know, that some of that $15 million could go towards that project.
I think you got that for money, too. Got a motion to adjourn. We're disintegrating.
I so move.
I got a motion on the floor. I have a second to adjourn.
Second.
Okay, motion and second. All in favor say aye.
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 I'm going to Oxford, Mississippi.
I got something else.
You got to lick your wounds again?
Well, no, we're going to beat Georgia.
I'm going to beat Georgia.
Yeah. The plan is